This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Let's light this candle. I'm telling you, it finally happened, and I'm excited about it. I was giddy. Doc O'Neill and I, we sat down on Monday night here in the station, and we had a little Arizona Votes special. We were handicapping the, you need to turn your microphone up. See, it was the little slide. There you go. Once again. See, this is why I'm here.
This is why you're here.
This is why I'm here. Awesome. You want to slide a little more here? We want to hear you. Keep going.
Actually hear what
there
I have
you are.
To say. Okay.
It's Doc. All right. So we sat down to the Arizona Votes. We were handicapping what this debate was going to be like. And I'll tell you this. I was wrong. I will admit that right away.
First time.
Seriously, after 40 years, you figured I was due. So here we go. I was a little wrong. I thought Hillary would tank. And we'll get into handicapping this whole thing later. But I honestly thought she would tank. I said that very openly. I said this is going to be Biden's window of opportunity. Yep. And I'll tell you, Hillary did really well.
Well, that's what all the pontificators are saying. I'm a little less effusive about her performance than most, but
okay,
she started
using college words.
She started out as the odds-on favorite, and sure. She walked out of the room in the same position. So that's a victory.
This was run by CNN. CNN's Anderson Cooper was moderating, and I'll tell you, Anderson always does a good job. I don't care what you think, Anderson. Anderson, in my opinion, just does a good job. He is good at what he does, and he looks like he's made of porcelain, which is odd. Anderson was committing right out of the gates.
You've only been a Democrat for a little more than 2 years. Why should Democratic voters trust you won't change again? Why should Americans trust you with the country when they see what's going on in the city that you ran for more than 7 years? Got to be honest, Governor Chafee, for the record, on the campaign trail, you've said a different thing. You said this is a huge issue. Standing here in front of Secretary Clinton, are you willing to say that to her face?
Absolutely.
Anderson Cooper was taking it to him. Anderson was not backing off. He did, in no way was he there to lob questions at everybody. Now, I will tell you, there were some serious softballs at Hills, but it was, to me, in my mind, coming from the side that I come on, it was basically a Hillary commercial.
He was trying to get them to pick a fight, and by and large, with a couple of exceptions, he was unsuccessful. Chafee took the bite a couple of times, but basically his comments went over like a lead balloon, and basically they got nowhere.
Okay,
they were there. They discussed issues. There were relative difference of positions, but nobody went after somebody directly. If you were looking for a bar fight, you had to watch should watch the rerun of the Republican debate. That was a bar fight.
Which is a debate. Okay. Well, so what this was a debate sans debate.
It was not about issues. It was not about Sojourner Lady.
Seriously. This was it. I'm telling you, this was a debate minus the debate portion of the debate. This was four men running for a cabinet position in Hillary's administration. This is really what it was.
A good move.
Listen to this guy. Okay. So I'll get into this. We're going to get into some details and play some audio here from the debate as well. But I do want to ask you this, Doc. As you watched the debate and we handicapped it, were there any surprises to you?
I didn't expect them to go after one another, and they didn't. The only one question I had, you had three people that were de facto the undercard. Would there be a breakout moment for any one of them? And the answer was clearly no.
Especially Webb. Webb was calling for more time. I want more time. What's going on? This is not fair. Where is my time?
And it came across as lame.
We've seen it. Yeah. We see that in every presidential cycle. We see that in the debates. The one guy that's trailing everybody starts screaming that he's not getting any time.
And it's accurate in the sense that people did not get equal time. But if they given all five candidates equal time, the rest of us would have felt cheated because we wanted to see Hillary and we wanted to see Sanders, and we wanted enough of the rest to give them a fair moment in the sun. But when you got Hillary polling in the 40s and Sanders polling in the 30s and the rest of them breaking around 1%, they didn't deserve equal time and they didn't get it.
So any surprises or no? None to you.
You know, a couple of observations. I don't know about surprises. The big one is Hillary started number one. She ends up there. I'm looking at Bernie Sanders and I'm wondering, is he really running to win or is he running to make a point? in particular, that came out at one very specific moment. They asked him about the word democratic socialist, and he had the opportunity to say, wait a minute, you know, look, that's just a word. In this country, we have Social Security, that's socialism. We have Medicare, that's socialism. We have a whole lot of stuff, and we're only talking about how much and what degree. But instead, what we got was a full-throttled embracing of the word. That, to me, is a position taken by somebody who's running to make a point more than he's really running to expect to win.
Well, I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street's greed and recklessness wreck this economy. No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
I heart Bernie. I really do. I don't agree with a word the man, not even a syllable of what the man says, but I will tell you this. I just love a man who is that deeply convicted in exactly what he feels and who he is.
And he speaks to the heart and soul of the Democratic base. You saw the enthusiasm there. Hillary may have higher numbers, but the enthusiasm gap is all for Bernie.
Right.
You know?
And so where is her high numbers coming from? If you say that is the case, that Bernie Sanders is just Cupid's arrow through the heart of the Democrat Party, why is Hillary polling so high?
Because she's okay with them, and she is answering every question and tailoring her positions so that they can't crucify her in November.
That's tragic.
I think, is it. And essentially,
how tragic that is.
The one point where I thought there was one question where I could just see it was kind of a November trap. And that's, what about, would you provide health care for undocumented immigrants?
Ooh.
Okay. And that's a trap because that might be seen as a positive thing in Democratic circles. But in November, that's a potential. And you notice she finessed that one. She said, okay, for the kids.
Is dancing around the answer what you call finessing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. Her answer was clear. For the kids.
Okay.
She said for the kids. We're not going to leave kids without health care.
That's already
taken care of. For the adults, basically, she said no.
That's already taken care of.
Yeah.
We have how many now pieces of legislation in this country that guarantees that no child in this country goes without health care?
Well, the question is whether or not a child's eligible for Obamacare.
Well, you know? the question is if they go to a hospital, they're going to get health care anyway.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
At the back end.
Exactly.
Well, when you go to the hospital, that's often a death, you know, facing situation. If you have a kid with
asthma. Have you seen a hospital emergency room in the last 2 years?
If you have a kid, kids die of asthma on the way to the hospital. If you don't get treated, there are some diseases like asthma,
right,
which I have, which you get treated,
too.
You get treated way in advance or else you're running a risk of dying.
All right, let's do this. Let's stay with it. Let's stay with the debates as Doc and I, we have our own little side debates. You know why? Because whatever, it's what we do. More on the Think Tank right here, KTR News.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
All right, you maniacs, thanks for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it. Doc and I breaking down the Democratic debate. Went down on Tuesday night. I'm going to say right out of the gates, I'm upset. I am really upset.
About?
Because my man O'Malley, I thought this guy was going to shoot out like Carly Fiorina. I thought he was just going to come up. People are going to realize this man is a rock star. He, A, is actually a rock star and the lead man in a Irish punk band. And he's got a heck of a resume with state numbers to back him. I thought, man, we are going to see him and it is going to be awesome.
Didn't happen.
Boy, was I wrong.
Boy, he also,
good night of living.
Also surprised he had your support. He pronounced himself the number one enemy of the NRA. I thought that was.
I ain't worried about that. I'm not worried because here's the deal. You know me and my political leanings, my affiliations. I don't care about anyone on that stage. I don't care about most of the ones on the Republican stage either. I don't like this, as evidenced by the Democrat Party announcing themselves as the diverse party of a new young generation. five white people, average age 63, 64, all wealthy. Yeah, let's just move on from that point. Holy mackerel. But anyway, I was really bummed out that the guys didn't step up. That Webb and O'Malley and Chafee, they didn't step up.
You know, they earned themselves a place on an undercard debate next time, I'd say. Exactly. Really, the next debate, I want to see Sanders and I want to see Hillary and I want to clear the stage.
So let's talk about those two. I agree with you.
I want to talk about top moments for each.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. Yeah. I was about to ask you that question. Can you let me set it up?
Jeez.
Let's go top moments on each. All right, let's start with Hills. Let's start with Sanders. I want to start with Sanders because we'll get to Hills later.
I think his number one moment was when he went after, to some extent, Hillary on the Iraq vote, you know, essentially saying this was sort of the worst foreign policy mistake in American history. And I think particularly.
I will do everything that I can to make sure that the United States does not get involved in another quagmire like we did in Iraq, the worst foreign policy blunder in the history of this country.
Foreign policy blunder. Man, I love that guy.
And he's speaking to a Democratic base there.
Sure he is.
Did not like that war. And frankly, the biggest Achilles heel of Hillary with the Democratic establishment is the suspicion that she may be a little quicker to pull the trigger than some others. And that was her vote
coming
for the
off of Barack
war.
Obama, who just, he loves him some drone bombing.
She had a good answer, though, by the way, to that, which was her response was, I debated Barack Obama 25 times. And on the back end of this, he named me Secretary of State. So okay.
I'm asking you an honest question because I have to, because I, once again, we know each other's political leanings. So I'm going to ask you this question. Do you honestly think Barack Obama nominated Hillary Rodham Clinton to be Secretary of State on her credentials and her resume, or exactly what she needed was a foreign policy piece to her resume to run for the presidency of the United States?
I think it was a big gesture to let's create a big tent. Let's remember the discussion at the time was, I forget the phrase, basically bringing in the best you could get. And she was.
And he picked Hillary Clinton?
Well, the person who got within a hair's breadth of beating him.
I'm not worried about that. You know, I'm talking about it was a way of broadening
his constituency and saying, listen, I'm big enough that I don't have to worry about being overshadowed by anybody.
I don't agree. I think this was exactly what she needed. She needed to do certain things for Barack Obama and his election campaign to make sure Barack Obama won, as long as she gets that one piece of her resume that was completely vacant.
He didn't offer her that. That was after the election, remember. He didn't need it to win.
Okay, we saw it on CNN after the election. We saw it on CNN. This planning and moving forward, it's all done far before we see any of this. You know it is. Doc, this is your wheelhouse. You know this is it. Let's move on to Hills. What was her big moment?
Her big moment was when they asked, do you think Bernie Sanders has done enough about gun control? And she just said, no. And then she elaborated. And again, to Democratic base, that is the biggest.
He's from a gun-friendly state.
Well, that's his answer. That's his answer.
That's his life.
But he has, as Ricky Ricardo had some splaining to do, this was his biggest Achilles heel to a Democratic base that has problems with that. Now, I think the people that love Bernie are willing to overlook that one issue, as you were for O'Malley. But it is not, it's an issue where when you are explaining, you're losing. You're trying to hold ground. You're trying not to have it hurt you. His answer to it was okay, but the real reason I think what worked was his constituency was willing to give him a pass on one issue.
Okay, and that pass, by the way, and this is, I don't think this is a big issue for him. If you say it's an Achilles heel for him, I don't think that's right. And here's why I say that. Bernie Sanders is Bernie Sanders. He's the left of the left of the left of the left, and he's speaking to the hardcore left in his base. If he gets a pass on one thing, and it's a piece of our Constitution, okay. I don't think that's a big deal to overstep that, right?
And that's why I don't think it's killing him.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's a part of our Constitution. I don't think he's really worried about it. I don't think he's too concerned.
But if you look at throughout the debate, the number of issues that he had that really spoke to the soul of the Democratic Party. He goes on middle class getting battered, tax Wall Street, shut down the NSA wiretapping. All those are issues that he speaks more directly and more forcefully than Hillary. She doesn't disagree with him on any of that.
She spoke about Snowden.
He stole very important information that has unfortunately fallen into a lot of the wrong hands.
Here's where the follow-up wasn't for Hillary Clinton. What it should have been. If this weren't a giant commercial for Hillary Clinton, it would have followed up with, okay, so what about everything that America learned that our government was doing and overreaching and overstepping? Yep. How about that?
Yep.
What are your thoughts there? Because if she says he stole two pieces of information that went into so-and-so's hand and we need to go after him, let's forget about, watch what the left hand's doing, don't worry about what the right hand's doing, because all this shenanigans and against the
Let's remember, we can keep two thoughts in our head at the same time. Both of those statements can be true. It can be true that he revealed a great deal that we would like to know as citizens in a democracy,
yes,
about
correct.
What our government do. It can also simultaneously be true that he was a little reckless about how he went about it.
Absolutely.
And some of it got out that shouldn't have gotten out.
I don't think any level-headed American is going to disagree with you on that. I think it's well stated.
And it's for the second part that he's potentially prosecutable. It's for the first part that he might get some lightening of sentence.
Yeah, it's if we ever get him back from the Ruskies.
Yeah.
Because he seems quite content in his little gray apartment and
I think he's making motions like he might want to come back.
Really?
Yeah, little gray apartment can get a little dull.
Well, I'm sure it can get a little dull, but here's the deal. I think he's only going to come back if he has a hero's welcome.
Yeah.
And a good part of the country is going to give him a hero's welcome, by the way.
It'll be mixed. I think the reception will be very mixed. We divide on this, and we divide on this on interesting ways that are not traditional left-right conservative, because there is a part of the libertarian conservative
that will greet him as a hero.
Yep, and some of the left.
Yeah,
so there's an interesting sort of cross-cutting.
I would say the people that wouldn't greet him as a hero, simple. The people that will not greet him as a hero are the people that were exposed. Mm-hmm. And the people that believe what the people that were exposed are saying, and saying he jeopardized the security of the country. Look, we're all going. Look at this.
Traditional pro defense wing of the Republican Party, mainly.
All right, let's stick with this. More audio to come from Tuesday night's debate, and there was a Republican that was live tweeting and responding. We'll have that audio next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Just to peel back the curtain a little bit here, when I'm in studio, I always have the lights off. Always have the lights off. Doc just turned the lights on. Just totally freaked
me out.
Just
shed a little light on the subject.
Freaked me out, I'm telling you. Holy cow. I feel like a vampire. I feel like I should hide. I should run and hide.
I wrote a little list I want to read from.
Oh, wait a second. What? You wrote a list?
Yeah.
A grocery list? What do you have over
like
there?
That.
I know what you're getting to. So here's the deal. We've had two Republican debates, and they've been fantabulous. They have been so much fun because there was fighting.
Mike likes a bar fight.
Oh, I do. Why not? I'm German, Scotch, Irish. I love a bar fight. And then there was this. It was five people just trying to lull us to sleep with their answers. But there were things that were covered on the Republican side, same on the Dems. Some did not intersect.
Yeah, and let me start out here. This is stuff that was covered in the Republican debate that was not mentioned in the Democratic debate.
Okay.
Deficit, abortion, vaccines, religious freedom, military readiness, Supreme Court justices, birthright citizenship, Islamic terrorism, border control, unions, and the IRS.
Okay.
Not mentioned in the debate. Now, of course, some of this is what they choose to talk about. Some of it is questions. I mean, the news media were determining the topics. Democratic side, stuff that is covered in the Democratic debate, not mentioned at all in the Republican debate.
Socialism.
Racism, college debt, financial reform, paid family leave, wealth inequality, early childhood education, renewable energy, campaign finance, veterans care, infrastructure, and equal pay. Completely different set of concerns. And I think that is, to some extent, that was the moderator's choice of questions. But on the other hand, they were choosing questions that were on issues salient to each party. So, and I think those two lists tell us a lot about the differences between Republicans and Democrats.
Well, okay, but we talk about so. Let me see the list now that you've gotten to view the list. So now I get to get my little hands here. We're going to see what we got going on. All right, the deficit. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what was covered in both.
Okay,
how about where they intersect?
Yeah,
guns, healthcare, surveillance, gay marriage, foreign policy. Black Lives Matter, good night of living, minimum wage, climate change, Social Security, immigration, the marijuana, and taxes.
Yeah, how can you not talk about those things?
But understand this, and this is the thing, right? You said the IRS over here was talked about on the Republican side, but it wasn't. But it was, because we're talking about taxes.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So there's
different ways
you
of
had,
framing.
Right, you had to talk about certain things, and especially you had to talk about taxes. Which, by the way, are we not hearing a lot about Trump's tax plan? Do you know why we're not hearing a lot about Trump's tax plan? Because no one hates it. Am I wrong? No one hates this thing. We'll get back to the debate in a second, but have you gone over the points of this thing?
I've seen a rough outline. I'm not sure it's very fleshed out. I think it's talking point.
But nobody is ticked off at the thing like they thought they were going to be. So that's not going to make anyone mad. We should not cover that in the media.
Devil's always in the details on stuff like that.
All right.
You know, he says he's cutting taxes on raising taxes on the wealthy. The only analysis I saw said it was just the opposite. But, you know, you
no, I saw there was a very clear tax increase for those. He mentioned the hedge fund managers.
Yeah, that
there was
that
a
one,
very clear
that
tax.
That one is an outrageous exception where they pay 15% and you eliminate that. There's no that's not across the board on the wealth. That is on one little tiny segment of the wealthy that are getting a free pass.
That seems to make an average $150 million a year.
It is completely indefensible. That's an easy target.
So, okay, well, but a target nonetheless. Yep. I didn't hear Marco Rubio going after him. I hear some
that's
wealthy
true.
Guy.
Well, you know,
going
a lot of those guys are big campaign contributors.
Thank you. And so yes. Okay. So let's get in that, because you mentioned on your list here campaign finance reform, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Campaign finance was on the Dem side, not on the Republican side. Here's the very refreshing part that we have on the Republican side: we have a guy running that's the front runner at this point that is self funding his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is funding. He's not in the bag for anyone.
That's a new version of an old ploy, like vote for me, I'm rich because I can't be bothered stealing from you.
Okay, no, thank you.
I don't need the money.
Not mad at that at all. Campaign. So campaign finance. Why was in the Democrat debate when they talk about campaign finance? Why wasn't that almost a shining example of how it would be if we have somebody running that isn't in the pocket of everyone else?
Well,
because all five on stage are in the pocket of somebody.
You saw a lot of that in Bernie Sanders talking about Wall Street excesses.
He didn't get elected on his own money. I don't care how firm to his beliefs he is. He did not get elected
on
his own money.
But it's small contributors.
His
contributors are the smallest of anybody running.
Okay.
In other words,
so you're saying
large
money backers.
Large. Yeah, right.
He cannot be this far along in the game without big money backers, especially he's catching Hillary in finance.
Yes and no. He does not have an independent expenditure campaign group. Okay, all of the rest of them.
They define that for everybody,
That's a third party group that you pretend has nothing to do with your campaign. They run independently and they can take unlimited dollars. Those are the ones that the billionaires are pumping millions and millions into, and all of the candidates except Bernie have to pretend that they do not coordinate and they have no knowledge of that group, and I have no say in what they do, and they are completely independent of my campaign. He doesn't have one of those. Everybody else does.
Okay.
Because basically, in the current environment, it's sort of like nuclear armament. If the other guy has it, you need it.
Sure.
So almost all candidates have it. He's announced from the get-go that he wouldn't do that.
And the funny thing about the whole nuclear disarmament thing, just a little side note here, because what a fallacy that is, and what just a unicorns and Pegasus fantasy that is if everyone starts to get rid of them, there's always someone with the last one.
That's
that one with the last one
and
wins.
It's only one.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's not, okay, we'll do this. We got two left. The same time, right? Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Good night. Let's talk about the things that weren't discussed by either party, and I'll let you bring that. I'll give you your list.
Weren't discussed by either party. And again, you got to say a lot of this is questions that came up: affordable housing, standardized testing, transportation, achievement gap, net neutrality, poverty, and the Fed.
Okay,
that's
here's what I'm seeing when I looked at that list, and I don't know if you're going to agree with me or disagree. I don't know where you're going to come on this one. What I see on the Republican side is they're coming to get us. You need to elect me because I need to protect us, right? With military,
basically,
immigration, things like that, right?
Absolutely. I'd make it even shorter. I'd say it's about fear.
Okay, good.
The Republican is about fear.
Not going to lie.
Whether it's people crossing the border or other countries or Russia,
Right.
It's about fear.
Do you know, yep. do you, and then the Democrat side is
equity.
Life has been tough to you. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. Equity. Life isn't fair. We'll make it fair if you vote for us. And they've been running on that same thing. Both sides have been running on those exact platforms for years.
Yes.
Decades.
Yes.
And here we are with the same thing. Those problems all getting worse.
And whenever we had fear, the Republicans won. The first guy to really beat that number was Bill Clinton, who basically when asked questions, who will defend the country better? He ran equal on that point, and then he won on the equity point.
Okay, but then you look at
generally speaking, the Republic when the country is threatening, feels threatened, the Republicans do better.
Right, and when the country thinks that life isn't fair, the Democrats do better. And guess what? Life ain't fair.
More or less.
Yes, exactly. All right. But then you go into the things that weren't covered, like net neutrality. That disappointed me because I want to know what they think. And honestly, I could say this with a solid level of certainty that the majority of them can't explain net neutrality, as most America cannot explain net neutrality. We just look at the guy we elected and say, are we for this or against this?
But fair point, though. We got more debates to come. Hopefully that'll come up along with those.
Okay, that's a good point. But the Repubs already had two.
Yep.
They already had two. So, I mean, come on. Let's get with the program.
They have a little bit of a problem in that, a big number problem, which is you throw a question out and you got to get a lot of responses.
Right. Right. And then you have the bar fight.
On both of those, both sides, I think you need to get the numbers down and it changes. You know, you get a Hillary and Bernie debate, that'll be a somewhat different debate.
I don't think it will. After I heard this from Bernie Sanders, I don't think you would get just the two of them on stage, you would get any fireworks. Well, here was Bernie on Tuesday.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
Let's have a hug. Are you kidding me? That is boring.
Marquee moment of the night, though.
Boring.
Biggest applause line, and I think what it told you is that Bernie is not going after the jugular with Hillary.
Yeah.
He is going to spend his time talking about issues.
He could.
He's an issues guy.
I know.
He's in it to move the agenda, and I think maybe not necessarily to win.
All right, let's talk about when. How about that? When we come back, right here in the Think Tank, we are breaking down Tuesday's first Democratic debate. We'll get to winners and losers and what the Republicans thought next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, breaking it down, Tuesday's debate. Doc, I know who you thought won. You said that at the beginning of the show. You thought it was a Hill win, right?
Modified. I said I thought that.
Did I swing you?
I said I thought that the consensus is that she won. And
okay.
I thought, number one, she went into the debate as the leading candidate.
Sure.
She had been sliding in the poll numbers. I think she won in that she solidified her position. Sanders, on the other hand, I think he solidified his position as a very credible challenger. So essentially what we're doing here is setting up the future. And I think the future is that the other three candidates had their moment on the stage to make their mark and get themselves into the game. And each one of them failed miserably. It's a two-person race.
Absolutely, it is. But I would say, If you're looking at the softballs that were kind of tossed to Hills, and let's be real, Anderson Cooper was tossing some softballs, right? No,
I think that's an overstatement.
Okay, did he go after Hillary like this?
The question is really about electability here, and that's what I'm trying to get at. The Republican attack act against you in a general election, it writes itself. You supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. You honeymooned in the Soviet Union, and just this weekend you said you're not a capitalist. Doesn't that ad write itself?
Well, first of all, let's look at the facts.
Bernie gets in there. Bernie takes a
bucket. That's kind of an over-the-top hit. Yeah, particularly
it is,
the vacation in Russia.
No way you're going to see that in Hillary. Yeah, you're not. You see none of that.
Yeah,
Hillary
marks on her. I did not see something that was as pointed against Hillary as that one was.
So here's the deal. It doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter who you thought won. Doesn't matter who I thought won. Because everybody wants to know who who Donald Trump
Let me
thought
give
one.
You, by the way.
Hold on. Oh, right. Come on.
One more point. You talk about who thought won. There is an outfit called PredictWise. They have people actually betting real money on the result.
Yes, they should.
And so what that does is give you an assessment of probability of winning. Let me tell you what those numbers are. Those numbers are probability of getting the nomination. Hillary Clinton, 77%. Bernie Sanders, 13%. Joe Biden, 9%.
Joe Biden still it was not there. So yeah. Joe Biden, we're not talking about Joe Biden right now because we're talking about this because I want to know who Donald Trump thought won.
It's going to be a race. I don't think he's going to get there. I thought his performance was okay, but he had to be much better than okay. He had to come out the clear winner. He didn't. And I actually think she probably came out not the winner, probably if you think about it, George, she came out the winner.
Yep, that's right. He thought Hills was the winner.
She did what she had to do. She got through it. She got through it fine. I thought the others were not strong. They were not going after her. It was a very kind debate, very gentle.
Yeah, very kind and gentle. That's right. Yeah. Not like he's used to.
I mean, I don't disagree. No knockdown other than the three who were nowhere to begin with. The real thing is it sets the stage for the future. Sanders is still in this. I'll tell you, the number one thing that he has going for him is the calendar. Iowa and New Hampshire are very good states for him, and the process is sequential. Should he win both of those, then you could have, this is his best chance, you could have a real reassessment. You'll see Time magazine covers that say, is Hillary disintegrating? That's his scenario, is the fact that the process is sequential in the first two states. You know, the last guy to win the nomination without winning either one of those? Bill Clinton.
Well, then that serves well for his quasi-wife. All right, let's move on to why...
Quasi-wife?
Oh, come on. They haven't lived together in decades. Let's be real about that. Let's see why Trump thought Sanders gave it up.
I think Bernie gave up for a good soundbite. It was a wonderful soundbite. But you have an FBI investigation going on. He gave up the email situation right then and there, and I think that's a mistake.
This is a huge mistake.
Bernie is an issues guy.
Doesn't matter.
He wasn't going to go down and dirty. He never has, and he said he wasn't, and he kept his promise.
Still a mistake. It is.
If your objective is to damage the other person to increase your chances of winning, yeah. If your objective is to move the agenda of the Democratic Party and maintain your status as somebody that everybody likes, then you don't win the presidency there.
You don't win the presidency there.
As I said, maybe that's not his objective.
Men of principle are not going to win the presidency of the United States.
And so maybe he's not getting up in the morning and seeing a future president. He's seeing a guy who has always been issues-oriented, who's willing to call himself a socialist, knowing he's not an idiot. He knows that's not a popular term.
He's a socialist.
He's making a point. And that, I think, you can make the argument is what his campaign has been about. It's elevating certain issues to a higher level than they were before. And moving the agenda of the Democratic Party a little tad in his direction.
All right. Second half of last segment, I want to get into moving forward. And as we move forward, where do we go from here? But I'm gonna give my point quickly here. What we don't have that we, at least the Democrat side, what the Democrats don't have that they've had in the past. And you were talking, look at past presidential election cycles. It was always who dropped out and who are they going to throw their name behind? The other three on the stage
don't matter.
Were so insignificant polling wise at 1.5%. It doesn't even matter. Doesn't even help. So that it takes a little bit of the fun out of it for me.
If somebody drops out, Hillary will have a press conference as she collects their endorsement with him, but it really won't mean anything.
Sure. Yeah. And neither of those three would ever throw their lot behind Bernie Sanders.
When you run for president and you lose, you cast your lot in with the inevitable winner.
Right. So, and that's it. Who you think will be the inevitable winner, and that's hopefully get a cabinet position.
And the betting line says 77% Hillary.
I'm talking about winning the White House, not the nomination.
Okay, well, it's sequential. You've got to win the nomination to win the White House.
I agree, and that's what you're doing. You're basically at that point, at the end of that debate, when those guys realized they weren't going to get enough time, they realized the second half of the debate, they are now interviewing for a cabinet position.
Yep.
Except for Chafee that took it to her just one time.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was on the list anyway, but he didn't help himself.
I did not like her response when he came after her about the credibility and basically an honest and transparent president. And Anderson Cooper said, would you like to respond to that? And she said, no. One word, no.
I thought it was brilliant.
I think okay.
It was absolutely the answer.
I think it shows you exactly who Hillary Clinton is.
His comment went over in the room like a lead balloon. She didn't need to respond, so she didn't.
Well, this is something she's going to have to respond to. She's not going to get away with that much longer.
Well, next week she's going before this so-called committee to investigate Benghazi. That will be interesting to see how she plays that. She is in a position to walk in.
The number five is coming to my mind. I don't know why the number five is always coming. She's going to plead the fifth. That's right.
She's not going to plead the fifth. I think she goes in there, and absolutely not. She goes in there aggressively at this point. She has the potential. A second congressman came out this week saying that the motivations were entirely political. Republican congressman.
Okay, I understand that. I get it. Of course they're political. Wait a second. Wait. Is that an implication that the Republicans are playing political, the Dems aren't? That's Washington. That's D.C. That is everyone's playing a political
game. There's a line. When you invest hundreds of millions of dollars in the longest investigation in American history and you use congressional committees, I think she's now in a position to make that misuse of the process an issue. Of course, people play politics for dollar on that. But when you invoke the criminal process, we had Fife Symington in here a month or so ago talking about that. When you invoke the criminal or quasi-criminal or investigatory aspects of congressional committees with subpoena power and the like, that is stepping stuff up. Step way, way above normal politics.
Okay, normal. Legal?
Questionable.
Okay.
Questionable.
Certainly, something
that one could make a political issue of the legitimate. Is this legitimate? I think she has been given enough ammunition that she can walk in and question the motives of the people doing this and make that a political issue.
They're worth their salt. They'll turn around and say, you were being asked the questions here, and I'm going to ask you this question. Answer it. And her campaign has to be telling her.
That will be great theater, won't it?
You keep your mouth shut is what they – because the more she speaks, the more vulnerable she is. And it's not – trust me. That you want to see something that certain people are going to be watching? Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people on the left going to be watching.
I guarantee you nobody's pleading the fifth.
All right.
Nobody's pleading. Like, we're going to see some.
Fireworks.
And this
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go? I think, again, sequential process. Now, we're going to have another debate, in 30 days. The Republicans will have another debate. There may be some crossover. There may be some of these other issues come up. Let's not get too excited about. Let's remember, for example, on the Republican side, at this point in time, 8 years ago, the leading candidates were Rudy Giuliani and Fred Thompson.
Yes.
Neither of whom got anywhere.
Right. That's true.
Now, Donald Trump has hung on longer than any of us expected that he would. But, there's a lot. Nobody's voted yet. Let's remember that.
No, I understand that.
And a whole lot of people haven't really focused on this yet. So we got a lot more politics to go.
I just want to see a Trump-Clinton debate. I really do. That would be, talk about fireworks. Holy mackerel. All right. On behalf of all of KTR, the KTR staff, KTR News, Doc O'Neill, Mike Russell, thanks for being with us in the Think Tank.